Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
Are you kidding me?
I had no idea.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media from our shared childhood. My name is Amy. I'm a proud Gen Xer, and I was born in the wonderful year of 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
The year Elvis died, I was born. I was born right after.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you see the new Elvis movie yet?
Not yet. I've heard mixed reviews about it, though. You liked it, right?
I liked it a lot. It's very stylistic.
Like, well, it's Baz Luhrmann, who I love.
Right, right. So if you go into it like expecting just a straight up biopic, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, no. I mean, I love Baz Luhrmann, his style, so I think I will like it.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. It makes you furious with rage. You will go to Banana Town several times.
Oh,
because
okay.
They were like wanting, like, this country was just so prudish. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Like, they wanted to arrest him in the 50s for wiggling his hips.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wiggle. The wiggle.
Unbelievable.
So you know who I turned my ire at. I turned to Timmy and I'm like, and you say the 50s were a good decade. You want to live with this bullshit?
Yeah.
It's freaking out.
Not. I was just recommending a Baz Luhrmann series to somebody the other day, The Get Down. Remember that? That was so
you
good.
You really liked that. I didn't see it.
I loved it. It was on HBO originally, but now it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Really good.
Okay, another recommendation while we're jumping off, guys. The Last of Us. If you're not watching it.
I'm going to start that tonight. I finally finished Arrested Development. I want to say something about the last season. I get it. It's sucked. Not as good. I still liked it. It's definitely not as good as the other season. But I still kind of liked it. Like, it was still funny.
Yeah.
But not nearly as good.
Well, while you're watching that trash, The Last of Us is passing you by.
You're calling Arrested Development trash.
The last season was. Jenny, update. I still have COVID.
Still?
I'm still testing positive. Day 8.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Day 8.
You're going to have it forever, maybe.
I don't know. Guys, I have not been sick in 3 years, and now I've been sick for 2 months.
This would make total sense. Like, Amy was always patient zero, created diseases, started diseases, made everybody sick. And then she doesn't, mysteriously doesn't get COVID. Everyone else does. We're all stupefied. Like, it would make sense that when you get it, now you'll have it for like a year and a half.
So you're going to hear me with my cough drop.
Amy and her perpetual COVID.
Some ASMR.
Oh. I have that fake disease where loud noise or chewing noises bother me. Any kind of noise a person who is living that makes bothers me.
You're going to be getting some noise because, I have to say there is this scene in The Last of Us where it's very similar to Walking Dead scenes where you have to be quiet because they can hear sound. Right?
Oh, that's so unnerving. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I said to Timmy, this is what it was like growing up with Jenny.
Okay, fuck off.
You just had to like tiptoe.
And second of all, you would be dead.
Don't breathe.
You would be dead if you had to be quiet. Like that, there's a whole horror movie about that where there's like alien predators or something, and they find
The Quiet Place, is it?
Yes,
called? And my man Jim from the office.
The way they find you is sound. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the whole world would be obliterated. Let's face it.
That's true.
Obliterated.
Obliterated. Mm-hmm. Jenny, we want to kick off our end of Little House with an upsetting announcement.
Oh no! Here we go.
Guys, we are not going to jump into 90210. I know we promised. I know we said we would.
I never said promise.
I promised.
Okay. Well, you always have empty promises.
My promises mean nothing. But does a promise really mean anything anymore?
Not unless there's a signature on a sheet of paper.
Exactly. So we started this podcast during the pandemic. We had nothing to do.
Literally nothing to do. Literally.
Since then, we've advanced in our careers. I've gotten an entire new career.
We literally, I was cooking. That's how little I had to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was putting together a goddamn puzzle.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were the days. So anyway, so here's what we're going to do. For a while, we are cutting way back and we're just going to be doing one episode a month on the free feed. It'll probably be a blockbuster. It might be a Gen X. This is, that was a thing. Which we really want to talk about.
It'll be longer episodes. So, these would probably be like an hour to 90-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. Better quality content, well thought out. Well, I think it'll be better content.
Depends on what the movie is.
Just less of it. Yeah. Just less frequently, but better thought out content, I think.
So, what does that mean for you? So, stay subscribed because every once in a while, every month, something will pop up.
Yeah, and
you'll be able to hear it.
Because it's the free feed and there's no contractual obligations, if we want to put two out, we'll put two out. If we have time, we'll do extra mm-hmm. things. But it takes the burden of having to record every week off of us, which is tough.
I can't get this bitch to record.
No, it's hard. My God, we tried to do it on a day and you're like, I'm picking up Samantha.
I'm phoning mom in. I'm picking up Samantha. Mom
I have to drop Penelope off. I have 25 minutes right in between.
Okay, I'm available tonight. Do you want to record extra tonight?
Yeah, I'm available tonight.
Okay, let's do it.
There you go. I'm available all weekend. Tell me when you want to do it.
I'm available every night. I'm sitting here doing nothing.
You don't
every
realize,
night.
Even if
you're
I go
one
out.
With the life.
Even if I go out, it's like 8 o'clock. You're going to bed at that time.
I hate you so much. Anyway, guys. So what does that mean for your patron? If you're a patron, we're going to just keep it going.
We're
going to
keep
it
going
for a while.
Yep.
So we're going to continue to
finish Rock of Love. Definitely finish My So-Called Life.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know, after Rock of Love, maybe throw something else on there. We'll see. We'll keep going. So the bottom line is, if you want to hear us three times a month, sign up for Patreon. Click the link in the show notes. You'll be guaranteed $5 a month. You're guaranteed two episodes. There you go. And the one on the free feed. If you only want to hear us once a month, stay subscribed and you can hear us. And if you want to hear me, I'm over on Hey Bunky, covering reality shows with Mary Payne. So also, guys, we don't know what that's going to do to the tiers. So we're going to look into that. Our goal is to get everyone at a $5 tier.
Yeah. You're not getting the weekly things early.
Right.
So we'll probably just reduce that tier.
So we'll reduce it. We might have to do it in a roundabout way.
We don't, because Patreon has the worst controls. So we'll figure out how to do it.
More will be forthcoming. All right, Jay, let's get into this dumpster fire. We have made it, Jen. We are very close to the end.
This is the last episode, though, of the season, of the series, right?
Yep. Next week, we'll be doing the viewer's choices. Yes. And then we head into the movie where they blow up the town.
This is the last episode of season 9. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I watched this over the last couple nights, last couple mornings. I wrote notes, put them on my counter with all my computers and stuff that I take with me, my phone, packed up my little bag, came to my studio. No notes. Didn't bring my notes. It is the only time I've left my notes behind. Usually, a lot of times they're in the cloud. They're on my, on my notes stock. I happen to write these ones down. Yep. The only time I've ever lost them or forgot them and don't have them.
Okay.
The only time. The first time. And it's the last episode.
I think that's very fitting for what we're dealing with today.
Yeah, I mean, I have my index card because I always write that when I get to the studio. I am 10 minutes away from my home. I could, in theory, and if it were 50 degrees, I would have run back to my house and get them. But here it is 4 degrees, wind chill. Mm-hmm. It's 16. I'm not going back outside.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Jenny, we're looking at Little House on the Prairie, season 9, episode 21. Hello and goodbye.
Mr. Montague, a renowned author, is undergoing research for his next book, which was not even clear. He moves in with Lauren and Monza at their newly implemented boarding house.
Jenny, on a scale of 1 to El Monzo, how annoying is Mr. Monocue?
El Monzo?
Yes!
Is that the correct answer?
That's the correct answer. This is the most annoying new character we have ever seen or met in our lives, correct?
Yeah, super annoying. Hate him.
Yet, for some reason, I remembered him. He's seared in my memory. It must be his annoyance.
Yeah.
Okay. He had a little Jenny vibe to him, too. I'll get into it.
I knew you were going to fucking say that. And that's not true. And I took notes on why that's not true.
Wait, why'd you know I was going to say it?
I just knew you were going to say it.
Why?
And because he's perfect and that's easy to confuse with me. But I took notes on why that's not true and now I don't have my fucking notes.
Jenny, we open on a stagecoach with two dudes on it. One is Montague, and I wrote, the other one looks like an older Tom Selleck, but he doesn't really. I feel like that's doing Tom Selleck an injustice there.
He was the guy that had the blazer buttoned, like, just his top button.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that?
I don't know. I want to call him Stash, because he has such an impressive
mustache. He does kind of have that stash.
But I
he
just
does
call
have a Tom Selleck stash.
Honestly, I just call him Dad throughout the whole thing. Okay. I don't even know his name. Cut to the boarding house, and there's some new music, and Willie is getting all dressed up. Now, this scene
Oh my God. I was like, wow, they're going out on a bang on the last episode of Little House.
I don't know if Landon is 3 Jim Beams in at this point. Oh, I don't know if he, like we talked about, accidentally got that marijuana cigarette.
This was written by Don Ballack, though, directed by Landon.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they were like, let's get a little racy for the last episode.
Maybe. Guys, Rachel's tying his tie and she's like, how much time you got again? What time's the stagecoach coming? We could bang a little bit. Wink, wink. I mean, it was something you would see in the 90s.
Yeah, I was shocked.
I was shocked.
I mean, this was 83, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Now Harriet's all dressed up, and she reminds Nels that Sherwood Montague is coming to town, and he's a very famous writer, and he's renting their very best room for an indefinite stay.
Great. What could go wrong?
So, Jenny, that explains it. He's a writer.
Yeah, that's why he's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a writer. I get it.
Asshole.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing like the confidence of a boomer. He's not even a boomer. Of a greatest white male writer.
Like Silent Generation, right?
Yeah. Guys, again, I can't recommend it enough. Follow Guy in my MFA class on Twitter. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. So the coach pulls up and Montague gets off the stage. They introduce themselves and he wants to go inspect his quarters. Meanwhile, Dad is looking for Matthew Rogers. So he goes where everyone goes when they need information, Miss Foster's.
Yeah, well, she's the town gossip / post office.
Mm-hmm. She sends him to Edwards. You know what, Jenny? When you not having your notes and not having anything to say, this would be a great chance for me to break out that new cricket sound.
Yeah, seriously, because it may happen. Because I'm like hearing this back in real time, and
it's like I'm telling it to Jenny.
Like, yeah, I'm like, oh, is that what happened? What happened next?
So she sends him to Edwards, and Tom Selleck / Dad finds Mr. Edwards at the restaurant, and he's like, I'm Matthew's father, and I'm here to claim him. Now, we did find that Matthew did not belong to the circus.
Oh, we know that? No, he did. He was in a cage.
He was in a cage, but he was like a freak, like a side show.
Oh,
like
he was a traveling freak show. Okay.
Yes, just a
so much better.
Guy.
So yeah. Much better.
This guy named Steve McQueen or something was dragging him around. I don't know what was happening.
Steve McQueen. I feel like that's not true.
R.I.P. Steve McQueen. All right, so upstairs, Harriet shows Montague their very best room, and he's not pleased.
Not impressed.
This is where I was getting a Jenny vibe.
What do you mean?
He's like, usually when I travel and when I do and when I get the best of everything, I want a suite with a kitchen because culinary arts are a necessity. This is you.
Oh, yeah, because I cook everywhere I go.
This will not do. Is there a home that he could rent? And Willie and Rachel run in and they start selling that boarding house real hard.
First of all, when I stay at your house, I share a bathroom with teenagers, okay? Just want to state that for the record.
And you don't complain about it at all.
No, I don't. I don't. Mm-hmm, I just suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Jenny, I have to share a house with those teenagers.
Thank God you don't have to share a bathroom with them, though.
God. So, Willie and Rachel are like, there's room at Laura's boarding house. And Harriet's like, shh, shut up. What are you doing?
There's no other place to stay here. Shut up.
And Willie's like, Ma, you'd know how nice it was if you ever came to visit us.
Willie is the MVP on the competition sales team.
Yes, he is. So downstairs, Dad says he's been searching for Matthew for years. And Edwards reminds him he abandoned Matthew at 2 years old, 11 years ago. And Dad's like, I know, but, you know, he'll understand once I explain it to him. And Edwards like, let's hold off until we know you have the right kid. Dad's like, birthmark, left ear.
I figured you were going to go berserk about this.
Now, Edwards goes, oh, yeah? What kind of birthmark? Really? Really? It's not enough that he identified that there was a birthmark behind his left ear, but now he has to describe it? Oh, it's 2.4 centimeters. Like, the last time he saw this kid, he was 2.
First of all, I thought you would rage because, like, this is our form of identity verification.
I did, although, oddly enough, I was okay with this. Normally, I would rage.
Yeah. Like, how does one even prove one is one's father?
You can't prove it. You just have to have some knowledge about Chip. So they go out to the house, and Edwards introduces them, and Dad's like, why is he using sign language? Now, Jenny, when did Edwards become fluent?
Fluent in sign language. I know.
Dude can barely read.
I know.
Dad's like, what's going on with him? Why is he defective? He wasn't broken when I had him. What happened?
He totally says that. It was real, real bad. It was real bad.
Edward says, well, someone at the workhouse didn't like him and they forced lye down his throat.
Jesus.
Jenny, what is lye?
It's like acid, isn't it? It's basically what I thought. Yeah.
Don't you put that shit on the garden? They use it in soap.
They use it in soap. Yeah, you can kill. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Pause.
It's a strong alkaline solution, so it's actually the opposite of acid, especially of potassium hydroxide used for washing or cleansing. Is it harmful to humans? Contact with very high concentrations, it can cause severe burns to eye, skin, digestive system, or lung, or permanent damage or death.
Yeah, I thought
it was used in soap.
I don't know how he can't die drinking lye.
It's used in soap, food, paper, glass cleaner.
Okay.
You can't make real soap without lye, Jesus.
So Dad's like, let's sit down. We'll talk about this. Everybody calm down. Calm down.
I have a lot of, like, how did he find him now and couldn't find him? Like, it sounds like he didn't wander far from where he was born. So, like, how did he not find him for 11 years? That just seems like a long time.
Mm-hmm. At the boarding house, they're showing Montague a guest room, and there's antique furniture in the room. Manly wants to paint it. Hey, everybody, I destroy antiques!
He wants to paint it.
Wait, I got it. Hey, everybody, I'm the one who paints over nice furniture! Like, he's such an idiot. He's the one, guys, when you go in an antique farmhouse, and you see shit from the 70s that's been painted over.
It has that terrible beige.
Hey, everybody, I put carpet over hardwood floors. He's the one. He's the one.
He's the one that does that.
Mm-hmm, So he says, Montague flips out. And he's like, can I please refurbish these?
He's like, basically, don't touch this shit.
He's basically like, get that idiot out of here. He says, I'll take it if you could fix up this adjoining room. And Manly agrees to fix it up. Whatever. Now at the cabin, Dad says, as soon as he and Matthew's mother could survive financially. First of all, did you notice they're intercutting scenes, which they never do?
I didn't even notice.
They like usually have a whole scene and then another whole scene. But now they're intercutting. Like, we're still at the cabin, still in that conversation.
Did they hire an editor?
I don't know. They just went balls to the wall. Because I know that they were shocked when it was canceled.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, like, they didn't know it was going to be canceled after season 9. So they didn't, like, make a proper ending to this.
No, right. That's what
the movies were for. Because I felt like the ending was, like, really? That's the end of the series? But if that explains it. They didn't know it was. It still was a lame season ending.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize they were ending the series.
Well, Landon was given 3 movies to wrap it up. But the only one we're watching is that one where they blow up the town, because I can't wait for it. Okay. So Dad says, we tried to find you, but you were always 1 or 2 steps ahead of us. And Matthew signs a story about a couple who adopted him but fed him pig slop and forced him to work. He got sick, and when he couldn't stand up, they fed him the lie. And I just wrote, Edwards is fluent in ASL because this kid is only signing half of this story. And Edwards is getting every single piece of it. Then Steve McQueen showed up and put Matthew in a cage. That's where we're at.
Jesus.
So Dad wants to make it up to him. He's like, Mom's dead now. Okay, she's gone. But the two of us, you know, we could do it and we'll survive together. We'll be together, whatever. Matthew's pissed, but Dad's like, you were starving, dude. Like, there was literally no food. Now, we know starving was a real thing here.
Yeah.
During these times. Like, you could really starve.
You can really starve now, which is ridiculous, but true.
You could really starve now, but at least, thanks to FDR, there are some social nets in place.
Well, in the U.S., yes.
In the U.S.
But, like, really starving is a real thing. Like, it's ridiculous with how far the world has come and how rich a lot of countries are that that's still a thing. But people starve in this country.
People starve in this country. There are people in this world without access to clean drinking water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yes. Okay. So Dad's like, I love you. I love you. Matthew's like, fuck you. You should have let me die. He signs, you know... We've really come far with sign language, because you used to have to sign, I hate you, get away from me. Now you can just flip somebody off.
Yeah, that's
good
sign
language.
Means
the same thing, right? Just bye.
Flipped him off.
So Dad leaves. So Edwards finds Matthew and he's talking to him and he's like, you do what you want, but don't hate your dad. Hating is bad for the soul. And it reminded me of hating and peeking. Peeking. Can't stand no peeking.
Oh, God.
So now, Jen, this was a weird scene. Montague goes to see Doc. See, this is another thing. They were trying to introduce this Montague.
Yes.
And they were
like, as a new reoccurring.
Yeah, and they were going to have him like as a foil for Edwards, which we see at the end. Which was the dumbest show. I never would have watched it.
I never would have watched that. Yeah.
No. And they were all going to live in Laura's boarding house. Whatever.
Oh, God. So it was going to turn into like, what was that thing with like, the girls that lived in the house
together. Too close
for
comfort?
No.
No, not too close for comfort.
Facts of life.
Facts of life.
Facts of life. Mm-hmm. Is it like some version of Facts of Life?
Yeah, I think so.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So he goes to see Doc, and Doc offers to examine him. Montague's like, dude. He's like, I studied at the Mayo Clinic. Like, fuck you, dude.
I have an index card. It is on the Mayo Clinic. I do have my index card with me.
Okay,
because I just carry that around in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
hold on. So the Mayo Clinic is, you know, still around and thriving today. And I didn't realize it was this old. That's why I was surprised when I heard that.
Oh, okay.
It's a nonprofit American academic medical center focused on integrated healthcare education and research. It employs over 50, 4,500 physicians and scientists, along with another 58,000 administrative and allied staff. They have three major campuses, one in Rochester, Minnesota, one in Jacksonville, Florida, one in Phoenix/Scottsdale, Arizona. They just recently, in 2020, expanded into the UK. William Worrell Mayo settled his family in Rochester, Minnesota in 1864. So this probably is not far from where this is. Yeah. And opened a sole proprietorship medicine practice that evolved under his sons, Dr. Will and Dr. Charlie. It was ranked the number one hospital in the U.S. for 7 consecutive years in U.S. News and World Reports. This was as of, I don't know, 2021 or something. It has been in one of the top positions in that ranking for over 35 years. They perform the highest number of transplants in the country for solid organs. One interesting fact, kind of how it got started, which I thought was cool. In August of 1883, a tornado struck Rochester, causing 37 deaths and over 200 injuries. A third of the town was destroyed, but the Mayo family was spared. Relief efforts had started. I'm assuming like the local government probably started that. Yeah. And they put the Mayo Clinic, or they put Mayo in charge of, it wasn't the Mayo Clinic yet, in charge of organizing healthcare for wounded survivors. And they, you know, like organized with like, got money from local places and then built slightly more permanent things and like kind of started this whole like clinic idea. Oh, cool. And that's how they turned into like the Mayo Clinic and expanded into like these outreach places and stuff.
Okay.
It's a good organization. I didn't realize it was so old.
Yeah, I didn't either. Cool. Did you say they have a branch in Arizona?
They are in, did I say Arizona? Yeah, Phoenix, Scottsdale.
So if someone had like a knife in the kidneys, for example, could they go to the Mayo Clinic in Arizona?
What are you talking about? Who are you knifing in Arizona?
Oh, if you know, you know, Jenny.
I don't know. Is this something from one of your stupid 90s?
It's from Sister Wives.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And like three people will understand it. Okay. So math. Okay. So where am I? So Montague's like, yeah, I'm a doctor, dude. I'm only here writing a book on frontier medicine, which is his way of saying like,
did he do air quotes? Did he do like frontier medicine?
Mm-hmm. So Doc is like, oh, do you want to know about the ocular pat down? Is that going to be like in your first
The ocular pat down.
So Doc,
it's always sunny.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Doc is sniffling and says he's had sinus trouble his whole life. And I felt seen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you. Mm-hmm. That was Graham. Mm-hmm. Remember Graham was like, mm-hmm. I got the sinus. I have a sinus.
She would have a full on flu and just be like, oh, it's my sinuses.
No, but she used to call it something funny. She Mm-mm. used to say like, I have a sinus or something.
Nope. She would just say it's my sinuses. She would often be in the middle of a sneezing fit when I called her.
She said she didn't get sick for 30, she didn't have a cold for 30 years. It was Mm-mm. just always her sinuses.
Just her sinuses. So Montague tells Doc, you know, get some powdered beetroot. Like, this is the stupidest scene ever. This scene doesn't end with Doc Baker packing up his bag and heading out of town, I don't need it. I don't need the scene. So next we see Montague and Fauxpas heading to Sleepy Eye to find a Chinese laundry. Cue the cheesy Chinese music.
Wait. First of all, yeah, the racist music. First of all, that is not Fauxpas. Fauxpas is John Carter.
John Carter was with them.
Was it John Carter?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the father was with them.
No. Why would the father go to Sleepy Eye at Montague?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
John Carter, Fauxpas, like, takes deliveries to Sleepy Eye and shit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Montague starts speaking like fluent Mandarin and Fauxpas impressed.
I don't think it's Mandarin. It might be Cantonese.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's Cantonese.
So at the restaurant, Edwards is eating and Dad comes in. And he's like, look, I don't leave till Friday. But I just wanted to, you know, make sure my son was okay. And Dad's like, you're fond of him, aren't you? And Edwards says, No. Edwards goes, I love him like a son. And Dad goes, well, like a son isn't the same as being a son.
Says the guy who's been absent for 11 years.
So Edwards says, it's not up to me. It's up to him. And he doesn't want to go. So I don't know what to say.
Dad says, I have a question for you as a parent.
Okay.
If you found out like one of your kids was switched, it's difficult because you have twins. So like you probably know they're both yours. But like say you found out one was like switched out some other kid at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And like you found out like 15 years later that they weren't your biological child. How would you feel about that?
This happened on many soap operas.
Well, I know.
I don't know. It's tough. You know what I mean? Like, where does that bond begin?
Like, does that matter? Like, as an outsider to the parenting world, I feel like that wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter.
Because, like, it's like I don't have a biological direct connection to your kids, and like that doesn't make me less attached to them.
Like, you have any attachment to my children?
I have a loose biological association to your children.
Let me think.
You know what I mean? Like,
so if I found out, like, Jane Smith in Idaho was really my kid, and so, like, I had to give Penelope to that family.
No one's assuming that you're going to do
like,
that.
Like, I wouldn't do that. I would just be like, let's just keep going how we're going.
Yeah.
Like, right, I just like, want to raise Penelope continually.
It's the relationship that matters.
Yes.
More.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole basis behind adoption.
Yeah. Like, that's why, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, Dad says, can I swing by tomorrow for a few minutes to give Matthew something? And I'm yelling, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Because whatever the gift is, it's going to weaken him.
It's going to weaken him. So it's kryptonite.
Edward says, fine. Now at the boarding house, Montague is praising Almanzo for his work. I'm like, okay, whatever. Laura says, call us Laura and Almanzo. And he's like, okay, fine, but there will be no reciprocity. Now, reciprocity is one of my favorite words.
Yeah, I like that word. It's a good one.
It's complicated. It feels like you got marbles in there swirling around. It's a good word.
Okay.
Manly is now all up in this guy's business. Why didn't you get married? Why don't you have kids? What do you do with your life? Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Hey, everybody, I'm an investigative reporter. Like, get the fuck out of here. God, go like eat soup or something, moron. So Almanzo is shit talking Montague when Montague comes up behind him. And one of the things Almanzo was saying is this motherfucker thinks he's perfect. And Montague, now this is so Jenny. Montague's like, you know what? You're right. I am perfect. And it's a terrible cross that I must bear. Mm-hmm. Which Jenny said at the beginning of this podcast.
I was kidding. Jesus.
So then, Jen, Rose starts crying. Montague starts talking to her in baby talk.
And Rose is like, I get it. I'm perfect, too.
Mm-hmm. Would you take baby Rose as a child?
No.
No. Okay.
She's a baby. Like, with all her gifted skills, she's still a kid who craps her pants. So.
True. Now, at Edwards, Dad shows up and tells Matthew, look, I know you want to stay and that's fine, but we spend a lot of time trying to find you. We never stopped loving you. Like, I have to say, for a man of this generation, he's very emotive with his expressions.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I love you. I love you.
Or he's looking for a farmhand. We're not sure. Okay.
Matthew's like, I don't hate you anymore. Times are tough. I get it. And Dad's like, here, I want you to have your mother's Bible. Jen, we had a family Bible.
Everybody had a family Bible who was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing. That's like where you kept family histories and stuff.
Yes. I wonder if mom still has it.
Probably.
Mm. So Edwards leaves to give Dad a ride home. And when he gets back, Matthew is moping. And as I predicted, it's his kryptonite. He got to him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible kryptonite.
Mm-hmm. So Matthew says he feels sorry for his dad. And Edwards is like, you know, that's natural. I get it. But hey, sucks for him. You want some supper? Let's go to bed. So now Montague heads over to the Olsons and he startles Harriet and she chokes on a gumball. And for somebody who's so smart, he is a moron.
I know, he's a doctor and he can't figure out that she's choking.
She's giving him every signal in the book, guys. Universal sign for choking. She's now they're playing charades and she's sounding out each word. It's ridiculous.
Hold on. I was wondering if the Heimlich maneuver, I don't think that was around yet. Thoracic surgeon and medical researcher Henry Heimlich, noted for the Heimlich maneuver, which is the abdominal thrust method to get something out of somebody's throat that's lodged there. He claimed that back slaps were proven to cause death by lodging foreign objects into the windpipe. The 1982 Yale study that persuaded the Heart Association to stop recommending back blows for dealing with choking was partially funded by Heimlich's own foundation.
That's a little incestuous.
According to Roger White, MD of the Mayo Clinic, there was never any science here. Heimlich overpowered science all the way with his slick tactics and intimidation.
Whoa.
What?
Jenny, we should have saved this for my upcoming series, Two Sisters Google.
No. From 1985 to 2005, Heimlich thrusts were the only recommended treatment for choking in the published guidelines for the American Heart Association and Red Cross. In 2006, both organizations drastically changed course and downgraded the use of the technique. I had no idea, did you? For conscious victims, the new guidelines recommend first applying back slaps. If this method fails to remove the obstruction, then apply the abdominal thrust.
Are you kidding me?
I had no idea.
Wow. Did you? Breaking news.
Wait, in May of...
maneuver is compromised.
In 2016, Henry Heimlich, age 96, claimed to have personally used the maneuver to save the life of a fellow resident at his retirement home in Cincinnati. It was alleged to be either the first or second time Heimlich himself used his namesake maneuver to save the life of somebody in a non-simulated choking situation.
Oh my God.
According to Heimlich's son, both rescues were bogus.
What?
This dude, man. I had no idea.
Hey, Heimlich, I have something to say to you.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea that was such a controversy.
Now, if we were doing my show, Two Sisters Google, we would have reactions like this all the time.
All right. Or it would be super boring. Everybody fall asleep.
Okay. So now Montague is coming out and runs into Nancy. And Nancy's bitching that she got a C on her paper. He says it's drivel, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It's so stupid. I'm not even going to talk about this.
She think that he was, like, well, how did she think this was going to go?
Anyway. I have no idea. At the hotel, Edwards visits Dad, and he says, I admit, I was angry you showed up because I didn't want to lose Matthew. I love him. But Matthew's moping, and he's not moving on. That Bible you gave him is, like, working on him. So he says, I know he wants to go with you, but he just doesn't want to hurt me. So why don't you come out to my place and fetch him? Talk to him. And Edwards is like, but you better give him a lot of love. And Dad's like, oh, he'll get it. I just said that way more menacingly than it was said in the show.
I don't know what that means.
Then okay. Edwards watches them reunite through a window and single tear. Casio keyboard. All right. So Laura voiceover in the middle of the show, which we don't need. A week later, Matthew left Walnut Grove with his father. Mr. Edwards smiled a lot saying goodbye. But inside, his heart was breaking. Laura, come closer.
What do you have to say about this writing?
Show, don't tell. Show, don't tell.
Like, why does Laura have to tell us the internal emotions of Edwards? This makes no sense.
We could see it on his face.
We got it. We understood.
Show, don't tell. Show, don't tell, Don Balak. All right. So... now the stage leaves, and Laura invites Edwards for dinner. Montague's cooking. Edwards says, or she invites Edwards over to dinner. He's like, no, I need to go home. I need to mope. And I thought he's going to hit that rum shack hard.
I thought he was going to fall off the wagon.
So now we get a scene with Edwards going home, and Matthew Shue is there. And he's like, oh, Dan Dermot Nabbit.
Who forgets a shoe? Because they had like one pair of shoes in these days.
I know. Cut to the boarding house. Montague is cooking a dish he claims he made for the queen, which was probably Queen Elizabeth II.
I think it was Queen Victoria at this time, to be fair.
She called it Chicken Montague. Laura can't enjoy this, though, because she's distracted worrying about Edwards. Then Jen, he walks in, and he says, I'm not here for supper. I'm here to live here. And this is the setup for what they wanted season 10 to be.
I see. I looked up Chicken Montague. There's no such thing.
At the end, Edward sits down and eats with his hands, and he wants to put ketchup on the chicken, and we get the quirky music.
I hate you put ketchup on everything. I fucking hate ketchup. Come for me. I hate ketchup.
What do I put ketchup on?
You, I feel like you put ketchup on stuff.
I put ketchup, you bitch, on French fries. And that's no, what
you,
it belongs
you
on.
You put ketchup on other things.
I don't put ketchup on anything. We've had a bottle of ketchup in my refrigerator for like 6 years.
Okay, you used to.
I don't think I did. What would I put it on?
I don't know. I feel like you used a lot of ketchup.
On hamburgers?
I'm accusing you.
On hamburgers, I enjoy a little
light mayo. You put it on hamburgers.
A little light mayo. Sometimes a little ketchup, but I like mayo. Hot dogs, I like mustard.
All right, fine.
Okay. I mean, I don't like it. Like, I would never put it. I know people put it on eggs and shit like that.
Ugh. No, eggs. If you put ketchup on eggs, don't even talk to me.
I don't put it.
Especially,
I'm,
I mean, eggs are delicacy now. They're super expensive.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm much better because I like I'll do a nice ranch dressing on some potatoes instead of ketchup. But for fries, nothing beats ketchup for fries.
I like mayo on fries, but I'll eat ketchup on fries.
I'll do a fry sauce with the mayo and the ketchup combined.
Oh, gross.
That's good. Okay. That's like when Doreen said she thought I drank like a bottle of soda a day. I'm like, I don't even drink soda.
No,
what are
no,
you talking
I don't
about?
See, I never see soda at your house.
You guys have this image of me putting ketchup on everything and swigging my Coke.
I never said you drank Coke. I swear I saw you use ketchup.
I'm sure, Jenny, in our 40 years together, you've seen me use ketchup. Yes.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. Do you have a why?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Jenny, at the end of every episode, we look back on a theme or a lesson, something we took from the rewatch. We call it our why. It's designed to finish the sentence. Gen X, this is why. What is your why for this episode?
This is why they should have ended this at season 5.
Correct. Then we wouldn't have had, hey, everybody, I'm here to ruin the show.
Season 5 was the perfect end point.
All you had to do was put Manly in a leather jacket and have him water skiing over some sharks. So
Season 6 is where it jumped the shark, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it was? It was when Laura grew up.
Yeah, she should have been a perpetual child. That would have been better.
I mean, she just could have been. I don't know.
Wait, I want to look at the episodes in season 6. Hold on.
Sweet 16 was one of them, which is the grossest episode of all time.
Was that the one, Manly?
I think so.
I think season 5. Let me just make sure some of the ones I loved in season 5 were.
I mean, we loved season 3. That was the
season 3 was great. There's no place like home, as long as we're together. The cheaters, the craftsmen. Oh, is the craftsman the one with a...
Shut up. Shut up.
The Sound of Children. Lake Keezy, a monster. Come on.
Yeah, 5 was good.
Harriet's
Happenings.
Season 6. You're right. Laura's kind of grown up in season 6. The Return of Mr. Edwards, The Werewolf of... Yes, season 6 is where it jumps the shark.
Yes. Yep.
The Werewolf of Walnut Grove.
Although, The God Sister was in season 5.
Yeah, but that was one bad episode in a season. Right. I feel like...
But if you go to season 3, you have Johnny Cash, The Collection.
Season 3 was the gold.
You have The Race. You have Little Girl Lost, What's Her Name in the Well. You have The Monster of Walnut Grove. You have... Journey into Spring. Oh, when his dad comes, his hot dad, Charles' hot dad comes in the scene. You have Fred. You have Bully Boys. You have
Fred
the Hunters,
and Bully Boys.
You have
no
Lizard.
More.
Quarantine. Oh. I mean, come on.
Season 3 was, that was the gold. That
was
the gold
the golden
season.
Age. The golden age.
Blizzard. When we were laughing at the frozen kids. That was the best season.
All right.
Season 3 was the best.
Jenny doesn't know what's coming up next because we don't know what's coming up next because you guys are deciding. So last week, there was a poll in the Meme Bees.
Wait,
I
did that happen?
I participated in it.
Is that happening now?
It's going to happen now, but by the time they hear this, it'll be over. So whatever we're doing next week is what our Memes are choosing. So I don't know. They were saying there were some in episode 1. Season 1, we didn't do a lot. Jenny.
No, we didn't.
We didn't do Country Girls. We didn't do The 100 mile walk. We didn't do. Whoa. Amy Hearn convinces Doc Baker and the Ingalls to fake her death. Oh, we didn't do that. What? One. We didn't do a lot of these things. Did we see Ma's Holiday where Carolyn and Josh go on a second honeymoon?
Okay. Yes.
All right. We didn't do the raccoon. We didn't do the raccoon.
I want to do the raccoon. You wouldn't do it.
We didn't do that one. So there's a lot that we didn't do. So guys, you know, come at us. Please don't give us anything terrible. Please, please, please.
Let's do season 1-3 somewhere. Can we restrict it to 1-3?
So we're going to do 3 viewer's choice and then the movie. So you have us for another month. And then our new schedule is going to start. So Jenny, anything else that you have to say?
No, I'm really all talked out right now.
Do you want to say, I would like to say how much I love you and what a pleasure it was to do this with you.
Am I retiring?
I just want to use the cricket sound. No, you're not retiring. All right. That's it, I guess, right? All right, guys, if you haven't already, check out our Patreon. Like I said, we're going to keep going over there. So if you want to hang on, just keep on hanging on. And join the Mimi B group. We have fun in there. All right, Jenny. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. ¶¶